Yeah, I think that's a lesson of the perfect and permissive.
I think it is too.
Because when you going to Jerusalem wasn't a sin.
No, it was. I don't think it was.
But because of the warning, it looked like he was also sent to the Gentiles. So
I know.
I believe it would have been better if he had taken the person.
In my opinion, it probably would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, one of the things, here's Paul. He's the one guy who says, no, circumcision is not necessary.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to require the Gentiles to follow the law.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you find him down there in Jerusalem. As soon as he gets down there, what happens? He gets under the influence of the Jewish Christians down there, and they have to go into the temple and do all this kind of law stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing? This is the guy who's spoken against this all of his life. Yeah. And now he's right there doing it.
We haven't got there, but we're going
to
get there.
I know.
We're going to get there.
I'm warning you. I'm going to have something to say to get there. I shut up now. We can go on, but I'm warning you.
Yeah.
He did that with purpose. Mm.
When you're trying to win people, sometimes you have to do all kinds.
All right, we like to stay out of it. We get in there. All right.
Where are we, brother?
We made it to chapter 17 last week. All right. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis.
Open up the Bible.
17, verse 1.
Now, when. Okay, spell it.
Amphipolis. Amphipolis. And Apollonia. They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures.
Verse are you, brother?
Verse 3.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Paul was doing something, and every time the move of God starts and people start getting saved, Satan activates those that don't understand. There was something Paul didn't know. Whenever you go out to minister, looking at this, always rebuke the enemy and destroy his plan before you go. Now, he was a pioneer, but looking at what all he went through, in my relationship with the Lord, I read one of those magazines from Kenneth Copeland, and I noticed that every time I'd minister, there would be trouble. Something would happen to interrupt or whatever. And then I read the magazine that Kenneth Copeland sends out. And the Lord told him that when you know you're going to preach ahead of time, always bind the enemy before you go.
Amen.
And sometimes he'd know about a preaching engagement 3 months ahead of time. So he'd start rebuking the enemy once he knew about that assignment. And I didn't read all the magazine and every story in it, but this one I read. And the Holy Spirit really, he taught me how to solve that problem. The same situation that Paul was going through. He said, in the dialogue between Kenneth Copeland and the Lord said, if Chicago had dealt with Al Capone while he was small, it wouldn't have taken an army to get him out.
That's true.
And he said, whenever you know that you're going to minister somewhere, always bind the enemy ahead of time. So I had to preach about three or four weeks when I read this, and I rebuked the enemy. I said, I had to preach at Twin Towers in North Birmingham. It's an old folks' home. And I ministered there one night, and I rebuked the enemy. I said, you can't disturb me. You can't hinder me. You can't. Whatever he was doing, he couldn't do it. And that was one of the smoothest times I ever had in ministry at that time. Everything went right. So the enemy will still do this if he can get away with it. And this is, you know, Paul didn't know. He didn't know to rebuke the enemy ahead. He just went and did the works, and this is what happened. But it gives us a picture of our enemy and the persecution that'll come. Jesus said there'll be persecutions, but we have authority, not over the will of man, but over Satan. And when you turn Satan off, men are not that hard to deal with. That's how the Lord taught me. I've seen people in gunfights, and I say, Satan, stop it in Jesus' name. And you know, it's just like turning the fire off a pot of boiling water. It takes a moment for them to cool down, but it's like they come to themselves and they go home. But when the enemy is not there, the enemy uses what people don't know and what they fear and what they feel threatened with to incite them to do his will. So knowing these things in ministry, that's what we have to do. If you have trouble with anybody hindering the work that God gave you to do, this is how you handle it. All right, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come here also, whom Jason has received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they were more noble, which is a nice way of saying they had more sense. And they studied the scriptures. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. You know, this is that thorn in the flesh that Paul had.
It is.
And the grace of God is sufficient. He dealt with the damsel. And it's the same thing. At least he didn't go to jail here. But this is the same enemy that we fight. Satan doesn't want people to have new vision. He doesn't want them to have a correct understanding of God. He doesn't want them to know that they can have a relationship with God. And he definitely don't want them to know that that they have power over him. He's trying to keep all that secret. It's just like when David Copperfield made it look like the Statue of Liberty disappeared. Satan's trying to make God disappear out of society, and that's what Satan's trying to do through his people. But the word of God is more powerful. They did turn the world upside down. All right, when verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What would this babbler say?" Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine that whereof thou speakest, is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers that were spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul, in the midst of Mars Hill, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." I like the way Paul handled that.
Amen.
About a month ago, I was at night. Sometimes I study the scriptures, and I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, what is it you want to say that, you know, I may not know to ask?" Or I just ask him if he has anything. And one morning I woke up and he said, "You need to be more frank." I said, "Okay." In dealing with people, he said, "You need to be more frank." So on the radio, things that I normally wouldn't say, I say it. I just, sometimes you have to do that. And here Paul was, he just said, "I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Let's just kill the root of the problem. And that will incite people, but they won't forget what you said. And eventually, they may receive the wisdom of God over time. It's important. Paul prayed for more boldness. And sometimes that's just the order of the Holy Spirit, to be more frank with people, to alert them. And so it's more pleasant to be nice about it. Sometimes you just got to be rough. You know, you just got to be frank with people. And there were times the Holy Spirit has done me. And every time the Holy Spirit talked to me like that or said something in a more forceful way, that word got way down in my heart, and I don't forget it. When he was teaching me about authority, it happened. He said, when you tell Satan to leave, he's got to leave. But what if he don't? When you tell Satan he's got to leave, he's got to leave. Amen. I said it one more time. Well, Lord, what if he don't? When you tell Satan he's got to leave, he's got to leave. Man, I didn't ask him no more. And that word, I've had good success with authority because of that word. And we'll end there. Next week we'll pick up what we left out. You know, what you say goes. You're the authority in the earth. You have the voice of Jesus here. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your wisdom, for your grace, and how you bless us with your knowledge. Help us to receive all these examples and govern our lives according to your heart. Bless us to do all that you have in store for us. Your perfect plan, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.